Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On today's call, we're going to talk about forming your prosperity covenant. Now, without question, we're living in perilous times. The ever-present threat of terrorism, the uncertainty in the changing economic climate. But here's the good news. People that have a prosperity covenant with God and who prepare themselves when change comes, they will not only survive, but thrive. If you've been depending on the world system for your increase, stop it and get focused on God, because He can prosper you both in good times and bad. We want to lead you this morning into forming a covenant. The covenant that we want to help you come into is a prosperity covenant, a covenant that will bring you your portion of wealth of this nation. You may say, my portion? Where do I have a portion? Well, let's go to Ecclesiastes 5. Ecclesiastes 5. The Bible actually tells us there's a portion set aside for you, for me, for each of us. It is good news for you to hear there's a portion of wealth with your name on it. How many of you know there's unclaimed freight? There are places where people have valuable possessions that they just didn't pick up. Now, you have a portion, but you'll have to reach out and take your portion. Ecclesiastes 5:18. Behold, that which I have seen is good and comely for one to eat, to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he hath taken under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion.
And you know, honey, it really says the days of your life that God has given you, he's given you those days of your life with a portion.
Amen. That's a good point.
Or else you wouldn't be alive.
That's it. Do you know what that says? It says that the good life is your portion. Your portion is not poverty.
Hallelujah.
Your portion is not barely getting by. Your portion is not laboring every day of your life. There's a good life that God wants you to share in and to have a portion. But listen, it goes beyond the good life. It goes into riches and wealth. Look at the next verse, Ecclesiastes 5:19. And every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God.
Wow.
It's God's gift that you share in the wealth of this nation.
Since you were born into this nation.
That's it. Be very careful, because the wealth of this nation does not belong to the wicked. God said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. You're the children of God that owns everything in this earth. But you have to learn how to reach out and take your portion and not just live with the little bit that the world wants to put into your hands. There is an awful lot of money in the United States, right there where you're living, regardless of where that is. The problem is, well, there's a shortage of money. There's not a shortage of money. People say, well, there's a shortage of money, but there's not.
No.
There's no shortage of money. The problem is, the wrong people have control of the money. When the money comes into the hands of his children, God knows you're going to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, win the lost, and disciple the found while they're still around. So let's look at the foundation of this prosperity covenant that I want to see established, we want to see established in your life during this time. How many of us know that these things would change our lives if we could get into a covenant that puts us on the foundation of God's prosperity.
There are actually three basic parts to making this covenant. First, there must be a biblical promise as the foundation of the covenant. You can't just go to God and say, well, here's a covenant I want to make with you, laying out something from your head. You need to go to God and make a covenant of things that you know are found in His Word. The second part of making a covenant is that you come into agreement with God and with godly men and women. You really need the agreement of a lot of times the prophet of God or the man of God that you're going to have a prosperous life. The agreement of two and more. Thirdly, there must be an active demonstration of your faith. So let's begin with the heavenly promise of abundance. For many years, you know, we didn't know that God promised abundance, and we walked around in a shortage. I can tell you that.
We did.
If you don't know a truth, you can't walk in the truth. The Bible doesn't say that the truth will set you free. It says the Bible says that the truth you know will set you free. When we start talking about God's promises to prosper, it's interesting where it begins. It begins in the very beginning. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Did you know that the first thing that God said to Adam after he created him was, Adam, you can have more.
Wow.
Can you imagine how beautiful the garden looked to Adam? He's seeing this for the first time. He's just been created, and the first thing God says is, you can have more. You can have 30 times more, 60 times more, or, you know, I want you to have 100 times more. Genesis 1:28. Genesis 1:28 says, and God said, blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. God didn't say, excuse me, just get by. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He wasn't just talking about children. Think about that. When God spoke to Adam the first time, the first thing he talks about is increase. God wants him to have more. We need to start speaking those things. We need to be on our lips. Do you know what we notice about people sometimes? They talk about where they're going. You find someone who's talking about going to Hawaii and they'll drive you crazy about all the talk going to Hawaii. Or you find out that they're going to go to a big ball game, you know, like in North Carolina, it'd be Duke versus Carolina or something, you know, in a basketball, and they're talk about that game. If you're going into God's abundance, you need to get excited about God's abundance.
And talk about it.
And talk, well, the abundance of the heart, the Bible speaks.
Yeah, it's true.
You need to have your mind on what part of the city that you're going to be living in, and every once in a while, just look out and, well, just go out and look at some of those places. Look at. You know, when you pass by a beautiful house, every once in a while, you can hear it say, I want to have that house, really.
Actually, you can hear the house say, save me from these people that are living here.
There you go.
Come and buy me so I don't have to have all this sin going on inside of me.
That's a good word right there.
You and I have to grasp that the first thing God ever said to Adam was,
not.
Well, it was not. Go to church.
That's it.
It wasn't say your prayers or read your Bible. First thing he said was be fruitful and multiply. That what I have given to you, turn it into many times more than what I gave you. Now that's good news.
Amen.
I want to do this one too, honey. We're going to look at Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite scriptures. Here we see some more about the covenant that God made concerning the abundance that he wants you and I and all of us to have. Ephesians 3:20, Classic Amplified. Now to him who by and consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams.
Does that sound like a God who wants you limited and not enjoying the best that you can enjoy?
Absolutely. Does not. To everybody who's listening on this call, no matter when it is, day, night, whenever. Do you realize that we can ask for something big? How many of us know that we can think of things even bigger than we dare ask for? What does God say? He says it superabundantly, far over and above all that we could ask or even think.
Mm.
Wow. God tells us that there's wealth that he wants to bring to us. Proverbs 10:22.
The blessing, listen, what is wealth? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it.
Yes.
I really think we ought to throw in 1 John 3. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers.
Yes.
When the blessing of the Lord makes you rich, it's when we, even as our soul prospers, the more we prosper in him, the more you read the word, the more you do what it is that it's saying, the more it opens doors to allow us to be able to have what God desires us to have. Romans 8:32. Oh, I love this too. Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him, this is with Jesus, also freely give us all things? He didn't say, well, limited according to this or that. He said all things. You have to see yourself blessed. You have to see yourself with money. You have to see yourself feeding hungry people, doing the things that God's wanting you to do, clothing naked people, giving finances to the kingdom, helping people to be able to, you know, you're blessed to be a blessing. The more you bless, the more he blesses.
You know, honey, until people can see themselves that way, they'll have to live with what society decides for them to have.
Think of that.
But once we leave that kind of thinking and move into God's best, his prosperity is out there, waiting and available to each of us.
Wow. I can't believe we've run out of time already.
I know. And on tomorrow's call, we're going to continue teaching on forming your prosperity covenant.
Amen. Too much good stuff. So we'll have to continue it.
Yes, we will. Hallelujah. So until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.